Since two of the bills seem to be related, let's kind of talk about them together. The first one here is the Federal Land Freedom Act, and the one that it appears related to is the State Mineral Revenue Protection Act.
I would say I don't necessarily know that these bills were created in conjunction with each other strategically. They just seem logically to go hand in hand.
Right.
The first, the Federal Land Freedom Act, would, and I'm quoting here, would allow states to assume the federal leasing, permitting, and regulatory responsibilities for oil and gas exploration, development, and production on U.S. public lands.
Okay.
So what that is telling me is that the federal government would no longer have the sole authority to approve oil and gas or energy extraction projects on public lands. That mm-hmm. would now be in the realm of states, as long as the land was contained within that states, but would nonetheless still be federal land. Which brings up a lot of questions about, would states be following the NEPA process? Would they be following a public comment process?
Exactly.
There are a lot of reasons why we delegate that authority to the federal government. This is a ham-fisted attempt to allow states to take over what has very traditionally, as long as I'm sure energy extraction has occurred on public lands, been in the realm of the federal government. The other bill that you were referencing would... And to what degree, I'm not 100% sure, but it would allow the states to collect royalty payments. I looked at the bill itself. It looks like there's a 2% administrative fee that currently goes to the federal government. It would now go to the states. It would essentially incentivize states to approve energy extraction on federal lands within that state, which because of the first bill, they would have the ability to do so. Think about if you're, you know, a cash-strapped state and you have an abundant oil and gas resource in your state, these two bills in conjunction make it possible for you to go ahead and unilaterally decide to pursue that energy extraction and then pays you for the privilege.
The first one, the Federal Lands Freedom Act, sounds like it would circumvent federal oversight of energy extraction on what are now considered public lands or federal lands. So that's U.S. Forest Service lands and Bureau of Land Management lands. Would those lands come under state jurisdiction or just the energy extraction on those lands?
I think they'd remain federal. There's no transfer of land happening here, which is why it's so sneaky. It's keeping the federal lands federal, but it's allowing states to unilaterally decide to go in and extract energy, I suppose, as they see fit on those federal lands contained within their states, which is just a huge break from traditionally the processes that we follow to extract energy.
You mentioned NEPA, which is the National Environmental Protection Act, mm-hmm. and that's, you know, what gives us the environmental assessments, the environmental impact statements, you know, this process allows
yeah.
for public input.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm wondering if this would then circumvent NEPA. Would it circumvent federal oil and gas regulations?
That's certainly our primary concern. That's why we're urging our members to call in and voice their opposition to this bill because, yeah, you know, we like the way that the system is currently operating. It's not perfect, but we certainly are firm believers in the NEPA process and in transparency and ensuring that indeed all, you know, extraction projects go through the proper analysis to make sure it's actually mm-hmm. in the best interest of the American people, not in the best interest of a particular state or the energy companies that operate within a state.
The royalty bill, the State Mineral Revenue Protection Act, mm-hmm. is a little bit confusing. This has to do with royalty payments. And royalty payments from the extraction of resources, oil, natural gas, coal, whatever, goes into the U.S. Treasury. And these are royalties that come off public lands, U.S. Forest Service, BLM lands. So essentially, they're available to the whole country. With this State Mineral Revenue Protection Act, it looks like that won't happen. Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, unfortunately, Amy, there's really not a lot of information about this bill out there yet. And, you know, I had to read the bill itself to deduce mm-hmm. what they're actually talking about. But yes, it seems that what the bill would do would be to divert funds that are currently going to the United States Treasury to the federal government that, yes, we all enjoy mm-hmm. And divert those monies to the states. So mm-hmm. you think about those two bills in conjunction. What does that mean? It means that a particular state can authorize extraction of energy on public lands and then receive the royalty payments that would currently be going to the federal government into that state, which means there's a lot of incentive to encourage oil and gas exploration at a state level now if these two bills were passed into law.
And I'm wondering if this so-called Protection Act is sort of a backdoor way of giving states control over federal lands.
Yeah, it's, I mean, right. It's giving states the authority to move forward with extraction projects, maybe with decreased protection or oversight, right? That's one possibility. And then the reason they'd be doing that is because they would now be enjoying the revenue that they would currently be ceding to the federal government from those activities. So you can see why these two bills are lining up to encourage maybe unnecessary, arguably unnecessary oil and gas development on our collectively owned public lands.
Let's talk about the Planning for American Energy Act. It's been reintroduced by Congressman Scott Tipton. Talk about what this means.
This bill is, again, rather complex, but what it appears to be doing is forcing what is called the Energy Information Administration to evaluate America's energy needs over the next, I think it's either 30 years, and then with a four-year plan. And then it requires that the Energy Information Administration, having come up with a plan to meet America's energy needs, utilizes an all-of-the-above energy approach. So that means that fossil fuels will have to be included within the portfolio of energy development according to the Energy Information Administration. So again, what it does is opening up the door to increased energy extraction and making that a requirement by law and not susceptible to market forces as it should be. I think this is an attempt by Scott Tipton's number one donor, you know, the oil and gas industry, to put a bill into law that would guarantee them business, right? It would guarantee that the federal government must include fossil fuels as part of an energy portfolio.
Well, Justin Patrick of Wilderness Workshop, thanks for coming in and explaining these to me.
Thank you, Amy.